Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did DEI die on November 5th?
I think it certainly did, and you're already seeing some of the consequences of this in the private sector, where several companies are sort of rolling out these plans to roll back their own DEI initiatives that they've set in place over the past few years. But of course, I think it's going to be much more difficult to tackle DEI at the root than these companies and even some Republicans may expect. And that's because this is a big money-making racket.
DEI is a big money-making racket? Who thought that was the case? Maybe that's why it hasn't worked out so well for companies who seem to have dived headfirst into the thought of prioritizing that over basic common sense economic principles. Let's talk to our friend, Doroy Murdoch, who is back with us. Happy Wednesday. Merry Christmas, Doroy. It's good to have you back, as always.
Merry Christmas, Merry Wednesday to you.
Yes, you're a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. When you are looking at the DEI movement, how close are we to possibly being done with this?
Well, I'm not sure if it will go away completely, but boy, these people have just done so many wacky, destructive, useless, and entirely unhelpful things that a lot of folks have walked away from this. And as my Fox News colleague Charles Gasparino says at the title of his book, Go Woke, Go Broke, a lot of people have used that term. And a lot of companies that were rah-rah for this stuff realized, okay, well, people aren't buying our products, our stock price is going down, our market capitalization is evaporating. And they said, you know what? Why don't we just go back to selling our goods and services and staying away from this sort of thing? Certainly with the Bud Light being the most dramatic example, when they embraced a transgender man who pretends to be a woman, whatever term you want to use, Dylan Mulvaney, put this person in an ad, which was really cringeworthy. Their overall market capitalization for Anheuser-Busch dropped $27 billion. Big mistake. Arguably the worst marketing error ever made in American corporate history. I mean, right up there, right down there with New Coke. And I think other CEOs have seen this sort of thing and thought, well, let's try to avoid that. Although there are exceptions like Jaguar, which came up with this sort of non-binary odd sort of gender fluid ad that didn't even show a car in it, which is kind of weird. But I do think a lot of people are turning their backs on this and thinking, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's just go back to what we used to do, which is make and produce products and services and sell them in and of themselves to consumers and try to make money that way.
You know, I think too, especially with the Anheuser-Busch thing, here in St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch is as big of a deal as it is anywhere.
And they're based there, correct?
Yes. And mm-hmm. when we're watching this from the very front lines in St. Louis, watching the fallout, I have talked to so many people, you know, at baseball games for my son or just being out in the community. There are real people who are affected dramatically. I mean, I remember, I think it was over Memorial Day, I was talking to somebody who works with distribution and works with the trains that come through and said that they got the holiday weekend off because business was going so poorly that he always looked forward to these holiday weekends because it was time and a half or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. There are real people that are way downstream that are very affected by these businesses trying to do the publicity stunt, which is what it really feels like, of all of this woke kind of stuff. And you kind of have to ask yourself, do these corporations really care about people that are really affected by these kinds of decisions?
Well, that's a very good point, because a lot of this stuff comes out of either the, you know, the C-suites, the CEO, or the chief marketing officer, and those sorts of folks at headquarters, and they may get their jollies out of this sort of thing and pat themselves on the back about how woke they are, you know, how sensitive they are, what have you. And you're right, the folks down the line, miles and miles away, you know, if you're the Anheuser-Busch distributor in San Diego or in Miami or Seattle, you're far away from Seattle. From rather St. Louis headquarters, where I assume this decision was made, and you and your employees, the ones are suffering from this, not for this nonsense, or you're a bar owner and your Bud Light sales fall, and I guess they can always put another keg of something else in, but you know, I know you've got at that point, certainly when this thing was a red hot controversy, you know, kegs and kegs and six packs of Bud Light just sitting there gathering dust because nobody wanted to touch it. I was at a Christmas party the other night, asking a friend to get me a beer, and he brought, without even thinking, he brought me a Bud Light, and I just put on the table. I don't want to touch it. It's probably still there, getting, you know, getting warmer and warmer. You know, a lot of people just skin up their nose when they see Bud Light. And this is, you know, probably 2 years after that controversy erupted.
Is there? Okay, so the whole country, we're 33 days away from Donald Trump coming back into office, and I've really even watched President Trump in his own presentation to the press conferences, like the one he had earlier this week. He has a kind of calmed, I hesitate, but I actually think it might be the right word. He almost has a humbled approach to the way he's being asked questions and the way he's making himself available. It's just different than we've ever seen it before, and people are interested in what he has to say. Is there a possibility that Donald Trump gets back in, the economy starts booming again? Is it possible for the Anheuser-Busches of the world, or for you know, some of these other companies that have made some of these decisions, to come back? Because I, for one, want to see them come back.
I think so, and I do agree with you. His overall tone in the last, pretty much since he got reelected, has been certainly self-confident. I mean, he's not turned into you know, a pile of fettuccine by any sense. He's still a strong guy, but I do think he's been a little more calm, a little more relaxed, a little more restrained. Maybe not quite so much bravado. Certainly, the vulgarity and probably the grandiosity have been dialed back a bit, and I don't hear anybody complaining about that. Perhaps as a consequence of that, you've seen people like Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and a lot of these Silicon Valley multi-billionaires coming in. The gentleman who runs SoftBank in Japan announced a couple days ago $100 billion investment in the United States economy, including about 100,000 jobs they're planning on creating. I think a lot of that is people seeing a guy who's a winner, who's apparently omnipotent. I mean, they can't stop this guy. And I do think this kind of warmer tone you're talking is probably part of it. And if he does achieve what he wants and implements his agenda, the economy booms and the crime goes down, the border is more secure, I think a lot of folks will say, you know what, this guy's a winner. Why are we fighting him? Let's get in line and stop the left-wing craziness. And if that's where the country is, if that's where the market is, that's where the consumers are, it only makes economic sense to move in that direction rather than try to duplicate the AOC or Maxine Waters or Kamala Harris model.
Yeah, there's so much pressure from the far, far left in the last 10, maybe 15 years or so, since Hope and Change came on the scene in the mid-2000s. So much pressure to, like, hey, be on the right side of history and posture in a way that made sure that you every day had to make sure that you told everybody, hate has no home here, and whatever else that sign says that people put in their yard. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that people feel freed from that, that we can just get back to the business of doing the things that we are individually in business for. I think that America would really thrive from being able to get back to that.
I think that's true, and I also think a lot of people, maybe part of the reason you're seeing what we're discussing, is people are just exhausted. I mean, you can't get up every morning and hear about racism, sexism, slavery, and Hitler, and not just feel exhausted after year after year after year of this. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's either an oppressor or oppressed, and everyone walks down the streets a victim, and every man is a rapist. I mean, that just becomes draining, especially when so much of this is completely untrue. I mean, yes, there are rapists out there, there are racists out there, but most men are not rapists, and most white people are not racists, and most black people are not victims. And I think a lot of people are just tired of hearing that, you know, pretty much, as you say, nonstop since about 2006 to 2007 or so.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now, nationally syndicated columnist, of course, Fox News contributor. Meanwhile, while all of that kind of posturing and pandering has been going on, there have been very impactful things happening in the last 4 years that have hurt our country, specifically the border and the wide open nature of it under Joe Biden. And we've seen lately, I don't know that Joe Biden's all of a sudden making these decisions. I have a feeling that Jill Biden is just mad at everybody and she's trying to make everybody mad all at one time. But what do you make of this move to auction off these border materials that are sitting there on the southern border? I remind people that Kamala Harris was campaigning on building more border wall. Imagine she wins the election and Joe Biden starts auctioning off these materials. That seems absurd. And it's just as absurd with Trump coming into office.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. And they're doing this at a tremendous loss. These pieces of border wall, which are reinforced steel, Trump explained in his press conference on Monday, I guess it was, very tall. They're about, I think, 30 to 40 feet tall. Very tough steel with cement inside and rebar inside of that. So very hard to cut through that. So this stuff is very, very tough. It's expensive. And these folks are, the auction price starts at $5 for each one of those units. That's like a 95 or 99% loss. Enormous waste of money. And what that means is if all that stuff is gone, Trump is going to have to go back to Congress, ask for more money for this, which is going to be another fight, which I imagine as long as he controls the Congress, he'll win. But certainly if, God forbid, there's a Democrat majority in either house, that's going to be a total battle. It's going to take time to do this. It's going to slow everything down. And instead of being able to start putting the wall back in on January 20th of next year, it's going to be April or May or June or who knows when, with that many more opportunities for people to run across the border. So I think this is sabotage. And my father of all people had a really good idea, which is Elon Musk, who's got $400 million, should buy all this wall that's available, just purchase it outright, and either donate it to the American people or say, look, you know, Donald J. Trump, here it is. You can use it. I've now acquired this for the American people, and I'll just please reimburse me for the expense. And that'll be much cheaper than having to go out and spend, you know, 100 cents on the dollar rather than 5 cents on the dollar. So it'll be free to the American people or 95% off, which is, you know, I'll take that discount.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I let you go, DeRoy, you know, you mentioned Elon Musk, and I think that's a really smart move. And with his responsibility as being an advisor with the Doge, I could totally see him doing something like that. Mm-hmm. But just on a side note, with Elon Musk, the man, how blessed is the United States of America that Elon Musk is here and willing to do the things that he's been willing to do?
Oh, enormously blessed. I mean, remember, he is a native of South Africa. He could have stayed there. He could have gone to England. He could have gone to Europe, who knows where. But he's in this country creating products, services, innovation, jobs. I think he's probably closest thing we have is sort of a combination of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford rolled into one with rockets as well. He is just an incredibly brilliant, enthusiastic, and patriotic man. And I'm very happy that he's in the United States and helping our side of the aisle and on the Trump train and not, on the Kamala train, which I guess is sitting somewhere derailed in the middle of the desert. So we're very lucky to have Elon Musk, as someone said, as our wealthiest African-American citizen.
Yeah. Yep. We appreciate you, Joy. Merry Christmas to you. 1 week from today will be Christmas, so we won't speak then. But we're always grateful for you. You're an important part of the Annie Fry Show family, and we love having our conversations.
It's always great to speak with you, and Merry Christmas to you and yours and to our listeners. And look forward to talking to you next year.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, DeRoy.
You bet. Thanks Bye-bye. A lot. Bye-bye.
DeRoy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, and friend of the Annie Fry Show. It is always kind of funny that Elon Musk is African-American. He just is. That's the science of it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to speak with Brett Volosevich. I have to practice that name before I say it to him on the air. He is a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst. He is a drone expert, and he is a member of Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. You have seen him likely having these conversations on Fox News quite a bit right now. Brad, when you were working with them, he has a theory on what's going on. How would you preface the kind of information he's going to be able to give us
when
we come back.
What he is he's a special forces operative and a drone expert, and he works Red Cat Holdings is a drone supplier for the United States military. So he's able to look at this information, and he's got ideas on whether or not these are military, whether or not they're civilian, whether or not they're foreign. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, we'll talk to Brett Velosevich here on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. On X, he is the Drone Warrior. If you want to go follow him on X before we start our chat when we come back. On the YouTube live chat poll, have you ever come and said hi on YouTube? We'd love to see you there. But you can also vote. You hear me talk about it every day. Now's the day. You find us on YouTube. Just type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y. And you'll see that we are broadcasting live right now. There is a live chat that goes with every live broadcast on YouTube. And in the live chat at the top, you'll see our poll. And we want to know from you today, what will come of the pending Gates ethics report that will be released this week? Bombshell or nothing burger? You let us know what you think. We'll talk to Brett Velosevich about those mysterious drones next.